Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone, panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
What's great? What's garbage? Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Video Games Weekly on The Fan. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host, as always, Reiner, Game Informer, GameInformer.com.
Hello, Church.
Hi, great to talk to you again. Big day for you guys. GameInformer.com getting its first makeover in a decade.
Yes.
It's a big deal. The site looks beautiful.
Why,
it actually loads in like less time than it takes to make toast.
Milliseconds
of load time. Yeah. And if the search function works, then it's a straight up victory.
It totally works.
Because the old search function didn't work.
No.
You'd type in like Call of Duty and it would send me to
spam.
China.
Yeah. Spam
right.
City.
Yeah, yep. Right. So I'm excited to see all the new stuff. Now, did you have to backload all the old features like into the new CMS?
All
you still
of the
like
old
years
content?
And years of old content in there?
Yeah, thousands upon thousands of stories are back, looking better than ever. And this technology compared to the old site is like what you'd find on like the Starship Enterprise. At least for us. Like
yeah,
it is
right.
Day and night difference. And if you're out there listening and you're near a computer, click on the main page and just click the Octopath Traveler story and you'll get an idea of how we are trying to kind of bridge print, you know, the print magazine we make and online. So you're going to see layouts that are very similar to what you're seeing in the magazines for some of our big exclusives, like this story here on this Square Enix RPG.
And it's beautiful on my phone.
Yeah, it's completely.
How about that?
Now
it actually works on my phone.
Yeah. So that big too. Day for us. We've been at it since 6 a.m. this morning, getting it all ready. So it's been a long day, so bear with me if I'm a little off.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It's very exciting. Also exciting, at this time next week, you'll be gone. We're not excited that you'll be gone, but we are excited that E3 is next week.
I'm hoping I can call in at some point.
That would be great.
Give you 10 minutes or something like that in between meetings.
It's hard to do because, you need to be somewhere quiet, and that's hard to find any place quiet.
Yeah.
And it's, I'll understand if you don't, but it'd be great if it works out. We think Brian Shea, who's a frequent contributor to this show, will be in your place.
Yeah, he said he'll be here, so
that'd be great.
Hold him to it.
My brother might show up as well.
Oh, nice.
This is the first E3 he hasn't worked in like 15 years, so he may be here as well.
Okay.
While we're talking E3, let's talk about the one thing you would like to see that we don't already know. So, I don't want to hear that it'd be really cool if there was a new Fallout game. That won't work for this. I want to know one thing you'd like to see for each of the systems at E3.
Okay.
PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
What's PC?
Exactly. Oh. I want you to give me something for those four that you would like to see that's sort of unique to that console that would be exciting for you for E3. Even if it's implausible or whatever, but what would you like to see?
Where do you want to start?
PS4.
PS4, for me, the ideal situation would be being able to take God of War on the go. We've talked about this in the past, but some kind of handheld iteration of the PS4. So the exact same experience, maybe not pro level, PS4 pro level.
Yeah.
But give me a unit, kind of the next gen Vita of sorts, where I can take my game on the go. That would be awesome. I would also like to see Sony. They've been doing a great job of delivering new IP with all their studios.
They really have.
Open world experiences, single player focused, which is fantastic. I would like to see them. They've been saying that they're committing to just four titles this year for their press conference. It's the Ghosts of Tsushima, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one from Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
Open world kind of samurai ninja game. Death Stranding, the new game from Hideo Kojima.
I'm nervous about it. We'll see.
Well, we'll see. Days Gone, Spider-Man. So those are all games that we're excited to play that are looking good. But I want to see them give us a glimpse at next year. And one thing I'm really worried about of this, of the video game industry, Nintendo's already been doing this a couple of years, is they really buckle down and just show you what's in the next 5 to 6 months.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's pretty smart.
It is. You're not announcing something that's 2 years out or whatever.
Right, but because you can't maintain any of the enthusiasm that you built up over E3. I think the way Fallout, they did, where the way Bethesda did Fallout 3 years ago was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
In that they shocked everybody by having this huge Fallout reveal at E3, and then 10 weeks later, it's shipping.
Right.
You know, and so the momentum never died down for Fallout 4. It just held the momentum all the way from E3 forward to release date. And I think that's the smartest way to go.
But in addition to that, I think that's smart. And we're getting a deep dive on Spider-Man, which is coming out in September. That's great, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to know what to expect from that. But tell me what Guerrilla's working on. Is it Horizon 2? Why does that have to be a secret? We know that's probably what they're doing. Give us a glimpse of it.
Absolutely should be a Horizon 2, by the way. Horizon Zero Dawn was awesome.
Yeah, it has to be the biggest no-brainer in the video game industry right now.
You would think so. The reason I think that they're skeptical and they're hesitant about releasing too much information early is, what if the game blows up? What if it doesn't go the way we want? What if there's a 2-year delay? And those things all happen in video games. You know, you'll get 18 months into development and they'll go, you know what? This sucks and we can't save it and we're skipping it.
See, I think video games need to go more like Hollywood. The second Jared Leto signs on to destroy the Joker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we know about that. The second the ink isn't even dry yet and we know that directors are attached to make a new Star Wars.
Yeah.
Just let us know. Give us a little insight. If it goes into development hell, we know that. That is what happens in Hollywood. Like, it's like, oh, this isn't going well. It might not come out. That's all fine. Right. I don't know. I really don't know the risk opposed to giving people a clear kind of ramp of knowing what they're getting. I think that's invaluable.
You could. And you know what? Frankly, we'll understand if you decide to cancel a game or if it's a delayed. We're used to that. It happens.
Yeah, so for Sony, when they just say that,
back to Sony and this E3.
But they said there's 4 games, and right there I'm already kind of disappointed, right? Where it's like, we're just going to focus on those 4? Press conference has always been about surprises and big reveals.
Yeah.
Are we just going to take like 20 minutes on each game and call it a day? I hope that's not the case.
All right, so your answer for the one thing you most want to see for the PS4 was like 19 things. I will just be a little more granular and just say, I want to know everything there is to know about The Last of Us 2.
Okay.
Because Last of Us 1 was awesome, and I would like to have a release date, would be nice. Maybe even this year. Maybe this is going to be something where they're going to try to carry the momentum of this into a 2018 release.
You are getting a deep dive into The Last of Us 2, or Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
I misspoke. It's not Days Gone as the fourth game. It is Last of Us 2.
I thought it might have been.
Yeah, we did Days Gone in our cover, and that was a huge deep dive last month.
Wait, are you saying you've gotten confused with the plethora of zombie-based games?
Exactly.
Ugh, man. All right, let's go to Xbox One. You already mowed my lawn on this. I've said it before on the show, Microsoft is lagging on a 2-to-1 ratio of sales behind Sony's PS4 for the Xbox One. I think they can almost entirely bridge that gap with a handheld that's fully compatible with the Xbox One get titles. So if I download it once, my games work perfectly between both my handheld and my Xbox One on my TV. The saved games are all shared on the cloud, so I can be playing at home on my full Xbox on my TV and then go jump on the bus or the train or get in a car when I'm not driving, play there, whatever. Going to bed, play from bed, whatever I want to do. Have it be fully compatible with both. So you already mowed my lawn on that idea for the PS4, but Sony doesn't have any reason to do it because they're winning. Microsoft does.
Yeah.
Microsoft desperately needs people to have a reason to buy their console, and there aren't very many compelling reasons right now.
I think that's interesting we have the same answer, though, just for the two different systems. That just shows how important Switch has been to the landscape of gaming, right? Like, we want that experience with everything we have now. We want it on the go, or, you know, while we're on an airplane continuing a game, or being at home, just plug it back in.
All right, what's the one thing you most want to see for Xbox One owners at E3?
Anything.
Anything.
Any.
How about an exclusive?
One game.
An exclusive. Besides Forza.
Yeah.
Or Gears of War.
Like, I will be.
How about a new IP?
I can't even see them doing it at this point. Like, I'm guessing we're going to get, like, Gears of War 5.
Yeah, probably.
And I bet that will just be.
We're
going to
get Forza Horizon.
Yep.
We'll talk maybe more about that later. All right, let's go to Switch. What's the one thing you would most want to see for the Switch system coming out of E3?
So,
and I'm going to kill you with my answer. You're going to hate it.
So, if you want to shut down E3 and just make it completely unbearable, there's one thing you could do.
Okay.
Nintendo cannot do this because fans are just going to go bonkers. They're going to have Smash Brothers on the floor at E3 for people to check out.
Yep.
That already is chaos. That's one of the most popular games out there. But if you throw the new Pokemon game down there as well, have both of those games on the show floor, you just got to shut down that hall at E3.
Yeah, it's going to be packed.
There's
absolutely
no way you're going to be able to see anything.
Right.
But I want them to surprise us with more IP. Like, I think that's the, you know, they did Splatoon on Wii U, and that was a big deal. They finally got like a new franchise to move forward. But when you look at their stable of characters, it's almost like Disney, like from like the 50s and 60s, right? Like, it's Mario, Link,
right?
You know, Kirby, Donkey Kong. It's this old stable of characters where they haven't really added to that element. I think that's their bread and butter. People buy these games year after year. Why not introduce like a new platformer?
Yeah,
something like that. I would love to see them do that.
I'd like, on that vein, I think that I'd like to see them go more mature with their titles as well. And I think Nintendo as a company can put out a PG-13 game and it'll be okay.
Oh, go straight R.
We'll be okay.
What would
life will go on?
What would a rated R Mario game be?
Oh, Mario anime. I don't know. It would involve a tentacle, and I don't like it. I know that right now. I want for my this is my E3 wish for the Switch, and it's not happening. I want a new, smaller and lighter form factor console. I think the Switch is too bulky and too heavy. I want thinner. I want the same screen size.
Like, you
want
to put it in your pocket, or
I might, and I might even give up some screen size to do it. I want the whole thing to be smaller, except for my, you know, I can't have any smaller Joy-Cons than they already are.
Yeah,
they're already too small. But the whole thing to me is still too heavy, too thick. Much like the Vita went through a much needed second revision, and Nintendo does this a lot. They've done it with all of their handhelds. So it's going to happen eventually. I would just like it to happen now.
You wanted just a year
you're
after
in.
Launch.
That's right.
Oh, man, that's too quick.
I know it is. Let's go to the PC. Give me something that would... What would be the one thing you'd want to see for PC gamers coming out of E3?
Wireless VR. Like,
that'd be
needs
great.
To happen.
Yeah. Like, good answer.
I don't know if it's... What is that? 5 years out? 10 years out?
You can do it right now. The Vive has got a third-party wireless solution that works extremely well.
Yeah, they just got to build that into the tech.
They got to build it in. I agree.
Because every time we give a demo to someone new at Game Informer's office, it's just a nightmare. It's like, be careful of the cable. They start getting tangled up.
I know. And half the fun of being a VR owner is slapping it on people who come over to the house who have never experienced VR and watching them lose their bleep. And yeah, the cable is the thing that sort of tethers them to reality because they're, you know, they're tripping over it and it's brushing their leg and everything else.
Yeah, and you just got to be like, okay, this is going to happen. It's not just like an immersive thing.
Right. It wrecks the immersion a little bit. The one thing I most want to see for PC gamers, newer, cheaper, faster video cards. The Bitcoin miners, the cryptocurrency miners have destroyed the market for video cards. And right now, you have to pay, if you can even find a video card to buy, a high-end video card costs way over retail if you can find them. And it's really put a crimp, it's totally stalled out PC gamers' ability to upgrade their machines, get bigger and better cards, even just to buy a gaming PC is more expensive now than it should be because of the demand that the miners have put on video cards.
And that's exactly why the prices won't go anything but up. They know they could sell these at a premium now.
Yeah, for sure. And they do. The only good thing is that the bottom's is largely falling out of cryptocurrency. So
yeah, we'll
there's
see.
That. Yeah. You know, so I think it's becoming more, it's becoming less and less profitable. But worldwide, the where it's really killing us is worldwide. You live in a third world country in Asia. If you can get, if you can mine one coin, you just made your year's salary.
I know.
You know, and so you know. I it's just, you know, it's hard to compete with that. All right. When we come back, Sony's doing some really cool stuff at E3. We'll talk about that. Blizzard has announced a new game, in a manner of speaking. We'll tell you what the game is when we come back. We'll review a new title for this week called Vampire, with a stray Y at the end. I don't understand.
Vampire.
We'll talk about that when we come back as well. We've got new Assassin's Creed info and lots of stuff for you here on Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
It's Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchian, Reiner with you. Forgot to mention in the opening segment, we do have giveaways. Zach, tell people what they can win.
We got a Polk Striker Hitman headset, mm-hmm. the special edition Hitman Polk Striker Pro gaming headset, compatible with all the major gaming systems and, of course, PC as well. Also got a Friday the 13th, the game to give away for Xbox One.
Now, the game came out about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, and we talked about it fairly extensively. Mm-hmm. I bet it was more than that. It was more like 6 months ago. But we talked about it extensively, and the concept was really good, but there were some execution flaws in it then. They've patched that thing a bunch of times. They've really worked hard on it. I bet it's terrific now.
Yeah, it is vastly improved. I have some friends that play it all the time.
Really?
A good kind of scary survival game where it's a bunch of survivors or campers, you know, the kids that are out at the lake, Crystal Lake,
yeah,
hanging out, and then guess who shows up?
It's
Jason Voorhees, and
he gets around.
Yeah, and that's Jason's played by another player, so a random player gets selected.
Yeah, and you get to be Jason.
Yes.
Which is part, and then you get to hunt down the kids.
And it makes all the sound effects you would expect. Yeah, Friday the 13th is a good time. So that's a good giveaway.
That is a good giveaway. You need to participate meaningfully in this show. That's all we ask. It's not a high bar, but you can't just call up and say, give me free stuff. I'm sure Justin will not do that. Hello, Justin.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I don't know if you're going to get to this at the Sony part of E3, but when are we going to see more about Kingdom Hearts 3?
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3. Reiner, what do you know?
I don't think that will be a part of Sony's press conference, but Square Enix has their own press conference, and I would say there's a 99.9% chance that Kingdom Hearts 3 will be a part of that.
I bet.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's got to be, because some of us diehards have been waiting a very, very long time for this game. And they keep on giving us these tiny little glimpses, and then we get super excited, and then we don't hear anything.
What do you guys know about it so far? I'm not a Kingdom Hearts guy. I have not played the previous installments, but I know people love it. I know it's got a Disney theme. I know it's an RPG using classic Disney characters, but I really don't know very much. What's coming up in Kingdom Hearts 3?
You kind of nailed all that stuff. But they're going to new worlds. So one of the big things is it is kind of like, almost like being a park hopper at Disney World.
Okay.
Where you can go from, like, I'm in a Winnie the Pooh world, and then all of a sudden I'm hanging out with the 101 Dalmatians, and then I go off to Tron.
Oh, okay.
So your characters kind of change their outfit, their looks, to go to these different worlds, and you have, like, an adventure that unfolds in those areas.
Okay.
So Kingdom Hearts 3 being, 13 years since Kingdom Hearts 2?
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
It's a long wait. They are adding Pixar stuff.
Oh, okay.
So we've seen some of that stuff and some of the Disney CG movies as well. So the past games were like, you know, Lion King, Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. all the animated stuff. Now they're going into the CG well, which is deep.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting. Those, we love those movies that Pixar makes and stuff like that. So there should be some good adventures that unfold there.
Awesome. Thank you for all that info.
Thank you, Justin. I'll throw you on hold. You can pick up one of our giveaways. Sony's going to be doing something that I think is very smart between now and E3, Reiner. They are doing an announcement, one announcement every day leading up to E3. I think it's very smart. Tomorrow, they will announce a new PS4 game that includes VR support. The day after that, they're going to announce a release date for a major studio title, which I'm hoping is going to be Last of Us 2. Friday, they're going to announce a new PS4 game. Saturday, a new PSVR game. Sunday, a PSVR port of an eagerly anticipated game.
What do you think that is? So that means it's a game that isn't out yet.
I think it's a game that isn't out yet.
Death Stranding?
Maybe. In VR?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Spider-Man would be amazing.
You would vomit
Spider-Man
immediately.
Spider-Man would be amazing.
You would be vomiting everywhere as he's twirling
bring
around.
Bring on the barf. I'd love it. That would be so cool. Insomniac is getting deep into VR.
What if the VR version is he can't web swing anymore?
Well, no. What's the point?
You play Peter Parker.
At school.
Yeah.
That might be the case.
Doing science.
Yeah. That's possible. What? I must have said something wrong because suddenly we have every phone line lit up.
Which
usually means I've made some kind of factual error and people love to call in on that.
I'll get you charged.
Yeah, that's right. Blizzard is working on a new Diablo game. That's very exciting. We've had Diablo 3 is now, I don't know, what do you think, 8 years old? And we figured they've been working on a new Diablo game in the background. But the way they, quote, announced it today, Reiner, they was just with a job listing in which they openly just said it's for our next Diablo game.
Now, so there was a tease, an unintentional tease that went out over social media, 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
where the official Blizzard account tweeted out a nightlight of one of the demons from Diablo.
Yes.
And everybody, and it was going on and off, turning it on so it lit up and then off, and everybody's like, Switch. It's got to be Diablo for Switch.
Right.
They did not see that coming, and they're like, well, maybe we'll bring Diablo to Switch. Could this just be a port of Diablo to Switch, or is this going to be Diablo 4?
No, this is Diablo 4, because they called it a new Diablo, and they're looking for character modelers. So, you know, you don't need that if you already got all the characters all done.
Unless you got
it.
Downgrade the character models.
I think they can do that.
And you don't want your good artists that are already there working on it.
Maybe
you're bringing
not.
In new help to do this
now,
meaningless task.
Blizzard's notoriously slow to get anything to the finish line. So God only knows how far. It could be 5 years before Diablo 4 sees the light of day.
Yep.
And if they're still doing character modeling, it's a long way off. But what would you like to see in the next Diablo?
I think more of a focus on... One of the things that I really liked about Diablo 2 was just the intimacy of the dungeons and with you and the loot. Like, I know that sounds weird, but it had more of a feeling of place mm-hmm. than I thought Diablo 3 did. And maybe that was just maybe our thought of escapism and graphics back then. They weren't as great, but I thought that game really nailed it from that isometric view.
Yeah, the purists think Diablo 2 is the best one.
Yeah, and then Diablo 3 comes along and they brightened it a little bit. The color palette was different. You had one zone that had like rainbows and stuff. That was a big controversial reveal they had. People were like, there shouldn't be any rainbows in Diablo.
Yes.
But I just felt like I was just kind of floating through that world. So I would like to see them work on the world itself
mm-hmm.
and really try to establish that and kind of bring back that magic that was in Diablo 2.
I would like to see the next Diablo be less of a button mashing exercise and make it more strategic. And I need to have a more of a threat of death. Even playing the game on high difficulty levels, almost invulnerable, and there's no real penalty for death, and I'm just mashing on buttons without even necessarily being very strategic about when I'm using different powers. I'm mostly just watching my power-ups and going, oh, well, I can hit R2 again because, you know, it's available now, so I'm R2.
Yeah,
and I just do it.
And that's the thing with those games is the way they're built is you out-level the zone.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the progress of power that you embrace. So for them to find that balance would be difficult. One thing I'll say that's going to be blasphemy for all the PC players out there,
mm-hmm.
I prefer the console version because there's a dodge roll button.
Yeah.
Which wasn't in the PC one, but that gave it a little bit more strategy where it's like you actually had some evasion and it felt a little bit better on the controller than just kind of point and clicking with the mouse.
I think Diablo 4 will be a competitive gaming title from the moment it's launched. I think they're going to try to do it as a competitive way, like Dota, like League of Legends.
So you think it's going to have like a multiplayer,
I do.
Like a versus component?
I think it will.
Oh, man. Randomly generated maps or dungeons?
Probably.
You know what would be cool in that capacity is if you had a team, kind of like we were just talking about Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a team of people going into a dungeon, but then you had the dungeon master.
Wouldn't that be great?
And there was
spawning baddies all over the place. And
putting out traps, earning experience as you do damage.
Remember that old game,
Dungeon Keeper?
Keeper 1 and 2.
Keeper mode.
Yeah, we should. It's, it's been 20
Let's
years.
Let's make the next Diablo charge.
Years. No problem. Get this, Diablo 3, the fourth highest selling PC game of all time. Diablo 3.
Makes sense.
Does it?
Well, I guess you'd think Diablo 2 would be higher.
Maybe.
But I guess people were super excited about 3.
Mike, hello.
Charge, what's going on, man?
Good to talk to you. What's up?
Hey, I got some questions about the rumors about the N64 Mini.
Ooh, yeah, the N64 Mini. Talk to me.
Super excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had an NES, I had an SNES, but for some reason the N64 really got me. I don't know if it's my age or what it is. But there's rumors that a lot of the games, they're going to have trouble getting on there because of licensing.
Okay.
And my second part is it going to be a four-port controller system?
What do you think, Reiner? A, will we ever get the N64 Mini? Or do you think they're just going to try to push all those games into the Switch and have people download and buy them on the Switch?
No, they have to do a Mini again. Those things have been so successful.
They have been.
The NES Mini and Super Nintendo Classic, like, you can't get those things.
Yep.
Like, they sell out the day they hit shelves, or within hours, even.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it's going to come. I think it's going to have four controller ports on it that will allow them to sell accessories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, if you have Mario Kart 64, you have to have that before.
I want that, for sure.
I'll even go lower.
And Mario Tennis.
Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, if somehow they get GoldenEye 007 on there, we're talking about the licensing issues. That could be one of the big games that is kind of being rumored.
That would be missing, probably.
You can't do an N64 classic without that game. That is one of the flagships.
But the problem is they may not own the Bond license anymore.
I don't care.
Right? That could have expired a decade ago.
Call them 009 or whatever.
New skins. I think what I heard is they still own the Bond licensing. The one they're worried about is Perfect Dark and any EA Sports.
So Perfect Dark would be Rare. Rare is now owned by Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that loops in Banjo-Tooie, Banjo-Kazooie, Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah.
Those are all developed by Rare as well. Let's hope it happens. Even without those games, it would be such a cool thing. And I wonder if they're going to up-res it, because I don't know if you guys remember playing games on N64.
Those are
fuzzy textures. They look moldy.
Yeah. It's this was the early days of 3D graphics, and by today's standards, they look pretty awful.
Star Wars Rogue Squadron. That
Mike,
could be
thank
an
you.
Issue.
I'll put you on hold if you want one of our giveaways tonight. It would be. We'd like to see the N64 Mini come out, and there were some fantastic. How about that? Wait, how did you not mention Eternal Darkness?
Yeah.
Maybe the best N64 exclusive ever made.
I said Star Wars Shadows of the Empire,
mm-hmm.
Rogue Squadron, Star Wars Racer, the best thing to happen to
the Pod
Phantom
Racer?
Menace.
Yeah, that was the best thing, which isn't saying a lot. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Dave and Brennan. We'll take your calls. We've got a bunch of other E3 tidbits. We've got some Assassin's Creed stuff to get to. We now know which athlete will be on the cover of NBA 2K19. We'll tell you who gets that honor as well when we come back to Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
It's already the final segment of Video Games Weekly. It's never enough time. Paul Charchi and Reiner with you as well. Again, encourage you to check out the brand new GameInformer.com. You're going to reboot the magazine sometime?
Yes. We're
it's been a little long in the tooth for this format, too. It's probably been a good 7-8 years in this sort of look feel.
Yeah, and, you know, the state of reviews has changed, you know, with games being updated, so we've been looking at that. But in order for us to be able to update the reviews, the website had to change. The tech had to change because we were locked in the old format.
So you couldn't change a review score.
We couldn't change the magazine because of the website. So now
it's ridiculous.
Now the door is wide open. So, yeah, Andy and I are having those discussions. We're trying to figure out what we want to do, what the future will be.
Terrific. Let's get into a couple of calls here. Brennan, thanks for your patience.
Hey, good evening, fellas.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
So I was calling because, you know, you talked about one of your giveaways actually gave me an idea and, you know, something to talk about. But then also you brought up when you're talking about Diablo and a like a Dungeon Master option would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It made me think of a game. There's this game. It's kind of like in a beta right now. It's called Darwin Project. It's on PC.
Darwin Project, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a battle royale type game. I know there's all the, like, you know, player unknowns and the Fortnite thoughts.
Yeah.
This is different, though. This is kind of like take a battle royale, mix it with Hunger Games, but add what you guys, you know, like a Dungeon Master, what they call a director. What they do is you have 10 players, either, you know, all against each other or duos, so 5 teams of 2. And then you have a show director that can either give you supplies to build weapons, or they can try to kill you by, you know, setting off a nuke in your quadrant, or you know, closing it. So that's kind of a cool, you know, like a Dungeon Master type game.
Cool. I love it when people call in with stuff I've never heard of before. The Darwin Project. I just looked it up. It's on Steam. There's 8,000 reviews, and they're very positive.
Yep.
Yeah.
It looks good.
And it's free.
It's free, you say. Darwin Project on PC.
Also coming to Xbox One, it was announced at last year's press conference.
Oh, okay.
I think that's where it debuted, was Xbox's E3 press conference.
All right.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
So it's a small-scale battle royale. It's not 100. It's 10.
Yes. You still have, like, you know, it's not like it's going to be a quick match, but what they do is, you know, they close down these different sections. I think there's 7 like areas within the map, and you close them down also often, and then the last one, it kind of pinches everybody together. It's really fun. You know, you start off with like a bow and a hatchet, and you got to build armor, stuff to stay warm because it's in a cold climate, stuff like that. So it's really fun. You know, quick format, but that show director, it kind of adds to the real fun aspect of it, you know, because you talk to the show director, you know, you got to try and convince them too, because they'll zoom in on you, and you talk to that show director, and they can only talk to you at that time.
Oh, no way. That's super cool. And the show director is just some random that's out there that's playing as well.
Yep.
And you're trying to convince the show director not to nuke you, basically, I assume.
Yeah, not to nuke you, or, hey, give me a ton of wood so I can build arrows, or give me leather to build, clothing. So
cool. All right, well, I appreciate the tip on that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I did want to add, the original reason I called is when you were talking about Friday the 13th, there is actually another game that's been out a little bit. They've done a lot of updates for it. I think it's on all platforms, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. It's called Dead by Daylight. It's kind of a similar aspect as Friday the 13th, but I think it's a little more fun because you don't just play as Jason. You could play as Freddy Krueger. You can play as Leatherface. Pighead from the Saw series. There's a couple other guys out there. I think that's, I mean, in my opinion, it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, 4 characters, you know, trying to help each other out, outlast whoever the, you know, horror movie character, you know, they chose. But, there's another really fun one I thought is there's even the nurse from the Silent Hill series.
Oh, that's cool. So they must have paid a ton.
Oh, yeah.
To get Halloween, to get...
maybe not
Saw,
a ton, but yeah,
to get, you know, to get Freddy Krueger. That's an expensive license right there.
Yeah, that one's on Steam. I mean, it's fairly, from my understanding, I think it's only PC, and then it's fairly affordable. I can't remember. I think if you start, it's like a base package of like $20 or so. But to get some of those other characters, you'd have to pay for them. But I mean, I have some friends who purchased the different characters, and it's a ton of fun because you can private servers type thing, you know, you can play with 5 friends where it's 4 of you against one of your other friends. And, I mean, it's a great time. It's a nice horror kind of game, you know, scary, you know, it'll make you jump. You know,
I'm looking at the Steam page right now. And Brennan, it's got Dead by Daylight has 100,000 reviews, and it's mostly positive.
Yep.
So, yeah, and it looks like they've been updating it regularly. There was an update last week for the game, and it's a two-year-old game. So that's some dedication to a two-year-old product. Thank you for a great call, Brennan. I'm going to throw you on hold in case there's any of the giveaways left tonight.
Yeah, that was kind of the proof of concept before Friday the 13th
was this Dead by Daylight.
But it's great they keep, you know, keep updating it, and it's still a living game, just like Friday the 13th.
Pat, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's on your mind?
I'm one of the video game collectors by night, so I have, like, every single system that you could think of, pretty much.
Okay.
I was just kind of wondering, like, I have 16 Xbox 360s. I have,
what?
You know, a whole bunch.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Are you getting the different versions of them, or like the collector's editions?
Yep. That's exactly what I do. And then I also have like 5 Xbox Ones. I have 6 PlayStation 4s, stuff like that.
Are you married?
I was.
Okay, yeah.
Just because of that, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it might take a special wife to be really cool with you buying your 14th Xbox 360.
Before you ask your question, I have to know, how many of those are hooked up at once?
How many TVs?
Four of them.
All right.
Yeah, four of the Xbox 360s are, because 2 of them are modded, but I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say that. So, are any of these of any real value? And have you been doing this a long time? Like, you've got some old, I don't know. So, is there a market? Is there any real value in old or collectible consoles?
Well, that was kind of my question to you guys. When do you guys think I should start dumping them? Because a lot of them are sitting around now, you know. And like, I have the box. I have the Nintendo in a box and all that. That was basically my question to you guys is, when do you think I should try to get rid of some of them?
All right, Reiner, what do you think?
That's such a tough question because people move on from generations as soon as the next one hits.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I feel like they kind of lose value a little bit, like a 360
now. They lose value a lot.
But if you go way back.
Right, then the value
Super
comes
Nintendo,
back.
Exactly, or Dreamcast.
But you got to wait 20 years.
Well, that's the pickle. He's in here. It's either 20 years, maybe 15 to 20 years, or... Oh, as the generation's still alive,
so when people want them. Pass them down to my kids would probably be a better option.
Yeah, maybe. It's a good investment.
You got 15 Xbox 360s. I don't know how many kids you got, but I'm guessing you don't have 15. Pat, that's, I mean, what's the, do you have a most collectible or most rare console?
The only one I could, that I could kind of think of is the... I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's the one that came out that barely anybody even has. It costs $500 still.
Oh, I know.
The PS4 Anniversary Edition.
No.
You have that one?
No, he's going way back, I think.
No, that would, it's kind of like the computer. It was made more for computer games and stuff like that, but you can play it on your TV.
What?
I can't think of the name of it right off the top.
I was thinking maybe you meant the CD, I'm forgetting the name of this.
Well, here's the thing. If you have the 20th anniversary PlayStation 4, which was extremely rare, that's going for over $1,000 right now.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow. So do you happen to have that one?
Yep, I have one of them in the box, never opened.
Yeah. Yeah, so. There you go.
I'll hang on to that one.
That might be the one to keep. I think all the others, all the others in my mind, Pat, they're not worth keeping. Because there's are you gonna move and live with 15 Xbox 360s and move them for 20 years, waiting for them to maybe have some value again someday?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I even have the red, white, blue PlayStation 2. So a lot of people are like, "How did you find the red one?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I just looked for it."
But, Pat, I'll throw you on hold. Thank you for the call. I appreciate the trip down memory lane there with some of these old. What was the okay, help me out here, Reiner.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 1990, the Sega 32X, the Genesis 32X is out.
Yeah.
and this $800 console comes out, and it's got CD on it.
3DO?
The 3DO, thank you.
Yeah, oh, Panasonic 3DO.
It's going to kill me. The 3DO. Remember that thing?
Mark Cerny made a game for that, like a launch
game. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He went on to, he's the father of the PlayStation 4, basically.
Yeah.
But he worked at Naughty Dog on Crash and Jack and Spyro at Insomniac. He's a legend.
He is a legend. That thing was conceived of by Trip Hawkins, I think.
Yes.
The hardware was.
He was the president, yes.
And the idea of the 3DO was that there could be lots of different versions of the 3DO, and Panasonic made one, Sanyo made one, and Gold Star made one. And so this was 93, by the way, so it was off on my years by quite a bit. But and back then it was the most powerful system that was available, and it had a CD player in it, and that was a big deal in 1994 because it had way more storage than its comparables did at the time. The comparables at the time were, again, it was like, you know, the Genesis. So it was such a big step forward. By the way, I think I figured out what I got wrong, and everybody called in on Eternal Darkness GameCube, not Nintendo 64. Of course,
it was in development for N64.
Yeah,
before it was ported over to GameCube.
Dumb.
You get partial credit.
Oh, I'll take partial credit. What? And sad story about the studio that built it. The name of which I've forgotten, but that thing unraveled badly too.
Yeah,
and they never made a sequel, which was ridiculous.
Yeah, Dennis Dyack.
Yes, that was the guy.
Company. Yeah,
what was the company?
Oh boy, I can't remember. You know, I saw one of their games that never came out called The Box. We were considering it for a cover, and we're like,
"Oh,
that looks kind of cool."
It yeah.
kind of had Eternal Darkness themes to it, but yeah, it never saw the light of day.
Some quick. I just want to touch on a bunch of leaks for E3. Just give me some quick hitter thoughts on these.
Silicon Knights. That's the name of the
Silicon company. Knights. You're right. That is it. That's exactly right. Thank you very much. The next Assassin's Creed is going to be called Odyssey. We don't know a lot yet, but we know it's going to be set in ancient Greece. Any thoughts on Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
I loved Origins, what they did with Egypt. I cannot wait to see if they bring that level of detail to the society, to Greece. Like, oh man, that's going to be cool. And playing as a Spartan type of character?
Yeah.
If it's like Frank Miller's 300, you ever read that comic? I guess it was turned into a movie, too.
I saw the movie.
Yeah, if they're doing anything like that, I'm on board.
Fortnite. We believe this has also been leaked, that it's coming to Switch.
Shocker.
Hard to believe. It'll make $1 billion. But
it's going to come to Apple Watch somehow.
It probably will. How much is it going to be hamstrung by Nintendo's terrible online support? You know, their whole online structure is just so bad.
What could go wrong?
That's the thing that I think is, you know, it might be the worst. Well, it can't be worse than the iPad version in terms of playing it, but it might be the most difficult one, the platform to play it on.
And it could be why it's taken so long.
Rage 2 is now officially confirmed. This is the Rage 1 was a pretty big disappointment, I think, for Bethesda and id. They've got Avalanche working on this as well. Avalanche put together the very underrated Mad Max game from a couple of years ago. And you can see where Mad Max was very much in the Rage, post-apocalyptic desert, via crazy vehicles with guns and all that stuff. It seems like this marriage might just work.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about this. I think that's a brilliant idea to wed two successful development studios in these very different ways.
Yeah.
To create this vision where id struggled with the open world in Rage 1. Now you have Avalanche filling in that gap where they can just focus on the gunplay and action.
Mm-hmm.
And if Doom's any example of what we can expect here, maybe amped up a little more than that.
Yeah.
It's going to be very exciting. So the
Mad Max
announced another big game, but I'm more excited for Rage 2 just because of these two developers working on it.
The vehicular combat in Mad Max was excellent, and this is good. This game appears that in Rage 2 they're going to have a lot of vehicular combat again. And that could really make it potentially something special. I like that idea. All right, so the other big Bethesda announcement we touched on at this time last week, all we knew is that there was going to be some big Fallout announcement, and it wasn't until the next morning, last Wednesday morning, that we found out that it was going to be Fallout 76. Any quick thoughts on Fallout 76? We don't know, frankly, a lot more now than we did 6 days ago.
Yeah, there's rumors it's like a survival game in... kind of like an online survival game in the line of Rust. The PC
that doesn't
game
mean a lot to most people.
So basically, it focuses more on, oh, I'm hungry, my character's hungry, or I'm injured, I need to figure out how to survive in that capacity. So you got to eat, drink, not, you know, in Fallout's capacity, not have stuff that's radiated probably is going to be a big part of that.
Oh, it could be for sure.
But it's how long can you survive? Can you build a society on that? Once you die, it's kind of permadeath, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay, we got to start again, or they take you back and, you know, they really kick you back a notch. So it's not called Fallout 5, which means it is something different.
It is
That's
something
what
different.
It implies.
Yeah. Yep. And that it potentially something kind of interesting. Remember we talked about Frostpunk like 2 or 3 months ago as a post-apocalyptic frozen wasteland settlement builder?
Yeah, this could be
similar.
Yeah,
this
I hope there's like some settlement too. Building.
Great job tonight. Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, thank you.
Zach, thanks for all of your help as well. If you missed any part of the show, check out the podcast, KFAN Fan on Demand, and also available on iTunes. We'll be back next week for the big E3 show for Video Games Weekly.